Welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm so blessed and excited to have Stephanie Manami on the podcast. Now, Stephanie is one of our small group leaders here at Catalyst, leading an all-women small group. Stephanie works as a student support services specialist at Cerritos College, and it's so inspiring to see and hear how you interact and guide and encourage the students, Stephanie, and see the genuine heart that you have for them. Now, Stephanie literally grew up down the street from Cerritos College, attending Carmenita Middle School and then on to Whitney High School. Stephanie has three grown children, daughter Keililani, son Kekoa Kalani, and daughter Kealohe Lani. And I know it wasn't perfect, but I tried, Stephanie, so hopefully I did somewhat justice with their names. And with that, Stephanie, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Thanks, John. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, you're one person who, if anyone was destined to find a home church, you found the right one. And I think about how when you started coming out to Catalyst, you literally already knew like a couple dozen people that attended here, right? So I thought it seems like a perfect fit. But from your perspective, what was it like for you when you first came to Catalyst and saw all these people that you already knew already?
Yeah, so I had been going to Cottonwood Church for about 20 plus years.
Wow.
And I had a desire to find a church that was smaller so that we can have real connection.
Yeah.
I wanted to look for a women's group. Mm. And I started coming because my friend Rosie was always busy. And I said, I'm going to go to Catalyst and I'm just going to sit next to her. And when I went, I saw a lot of people, but still it wasn't, you know, the church that I was deciding to go until one year DM invited me to a women's group over winter break. Mm-hmm. And from there, I did the summer group. And I was like, this is the church for me because it has everything that I am looking for.
Yeah.
And it's really focused on the Catalyst mission, which is something that is near and dear to my heart, is, you know, learning and growing into what you're called to be.
Mm-hmm,
and that's what is exciting for me at Catalyst.
Yeah, yeah. And I find it neat that so God answered your prayer and you were able to connect with a church that really aligned to your beliefs. But in addition to that, that you already knew so many people already. It was almost like a double blessing, huh?
It was really fun to see people that I grew up with.
Yeah, yeah.
That my kids went to school with, and that it was like a home.
Yeah.
Like I felt really welcomed.
Yeah.
Not only by the people that I knew, but by everyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a little home that was like coming home, actually.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's a neat analogy. So I wanted to start by asking you about your career at Cerritos College, because you developed a passion through your work to serve young people, and especially those, I think you said, that lack direction and purpose in their life. And so I'm wondering how that came to be, how that came about.
It's super interesting how God works.
Yeah.
Back, and now I'm going to go back a little bit.
Sure,
I remember back in 2012, I wrote a mission statement, and I emailed it to myself, and I said I wanted to serve young adults who maybe didn't have direction, but I wanted to not only provide them with guidance on their career, but also be able to pour into them the Word of God.
Wow.
And who would think that it would be in a secular workplace?
Mm-hmm.
But after, it was just a desire in my heart. I didn't know how I was going to get there. So after I graduated from Bible College at Cottonwood College, they invited me to be an academic advisor. It was not something that was on my mind at all.
Huh, okay.
But it opened my thoughts to, like, maybe this is how I would serve students. And one thing led to another. I took a position at Cerritos College in public affairs, which was totally not where I am right now. God opened doors to move me into another position, which again, wasn't what I was supposed to do. But then that allowed me to actually just move into this other, the current position that I'm in, which serves underserved, underprivileged, low income, first generation, you know, foster youth students. And the other component too is I remember in Bible college, they would, at the end of, you know, our time there, they would provide us with a word of, a prophetic word. And their word was, you're going to serve women. And I was like, you know, my heart is for young adults. I don't know, but I'll just put that on the bookshelf. And guess what? Where I'm at, I actually get to do both. I serve women who are single parents returning to school. They're also low income. And I connect them with resources. I provide guidance. I am that person. Like when you go through college, you don't know what you don't know. Especially if you're first generation. And how do I resolve this financial aid question? Or how do I get resources? How do I transfer? Students don't know what they don't know, and they actually, it's a dream job. I'm really happy that every day, you know, I get to serve. And even though it's a secular workplace, because my office is filled with so much scripture, everywhere you look, you will see like Amazing Grace, Blessed, Jesus. And so they know who I am without having to say anything. And so, you know, eventually they always come to me with a problem. I get to pour guidance into them with a Christ-centered focus. And then they know that I'm open for prayer. So a lot of times they'll come in and ask me, will you pray for me? And I get to pray over them and really be the hands and feet of Jesus and show them like the way I am or the way I serve or the way I love. It's because I love Jesus, and this is how he does it. So,
oh my gosh. What's been their reaction when you pray for them and you either notice them afterwards or see them?
I love it because they come back and they tell me, and they, you know, when something good happens, I'm in my office saying, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so people know that any good thing, I'm giving glory to the Father. And so when they come back and they say, it was such a blessing, Stephanie, or wow, look what God did. And whether or not they are Christian, or if they're not, it's like they've been, they know now that there's a Jesus that answers prayers. And everything that I do, I give glory to the Lord. And so it's amazing to see them come back and they thank me and they say, you've been a blessing. And, they use the words like praise God. And in a secular workplace, you really can't do it, you know? But if the student does it, you can then, praise the Lord.
And just affirming what they're saying.
And if I'm in my office praising the Lord, I can do that. You know, like, praise God, this is great news.
Wow, that's so awesome. I have to see your office one of these days and see that. I know I'd be inspired. So I wanted to transition and talk about something. You felt God at one point asking you to give things away. And I wondered if you can talk about how that came to be and what God showed you and how he spoke to you in that moment.
This is an interesting story. So right before COVID, a couple weeks prior, I mean, leading up to it, he was, you're going to go and stay with your parents. And this was even before the lockdown. And before you go to your parents, you're going to give everything away. Now, this is my entire life, my all my kitchen, my decorations, my literally my entire adult life was dwindled down to maybe 40 boxes. And most of those were memorabilia. And it was just a bare minimum of what I needed. Just the clothes I needed, just the shoes I needed. I didn't have maybe I save a couple mugs that were memorable, like the kids had given me.
Yeah.
But literally everything was given away. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night, sitting up in bed thinking, oh my, what did I just do? I literally have nothing. When I'm ready to start a life again outside of, you know, living with my parents, and I didn't know how long that was going to be, I'm not going to have anything. How am I going to do this? And what if I gave away something I needed? And I distinctly remember the Lord saying in the middle of the night while I'm having this panic attack, it's like, don't worry. What you need will always be provided, and it'll be returned to you in greater measure.
Wow.
And I would just lay back and have so much peace in it. And then, like, literally 2 days before, after I did the giving away process, and that was 2 days before the lockdown. And then the lockdown happened, and all I had were, like, a couple sweats, a couple shorts.
Wow.
But I really didn't need anything because I was working virtually. So I didn't have to dress up for work at all. So it was amazing.
So did you have an idea at that time why you felt God wanted you to surrender and kind of give everything up that you had?
Honestly, I had no idea what his plan was.
Yeah.
But I was just obedient, and it was hard.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's such a shift, almost like a whole new attitude or perspective shift for you, huh?
Completely, because here I am, a grown adult, having raised a family, moving back into my parents' home, taking care of them during the pandemic, but also submitting and humbling myself to authority of their authority, because I moved out and got married when I was 22. So it's been a long time making my own decisions and doing whatever I chose to do.
Yeah,
but it was really about submission.
Right, right. And, you know, that's awesome. I wanted to share this scripture because I thought about this when you talked about God telling you that by giving these things up, he was going to give you even more. And then I found this scripture. It's Proverbs 11:24-5. And it says, it's possible to give away and become richer. It's also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. And I just thought that was so appropriate for what you had shared. So I don't know if you felt like through that experience, if you've become richer, or, you know, what your perspective is now, any change in that area? Or?
That's amazing, John. Yes, because I learned through that experience that a lot of my identity previously was a mother, a homemaker, a hostess. I had cute little bowls for every activity and serving dishes and tons of decorations and 10 different Christmas decoration styles. And I had just so much. But giving everything away, I had this sense of freedom from the things of the world. I was no longer like, I don't need that. Why do I need to bring that in my home now?
Wow.
I really could live off of so little, but I am so fulfilled because my thoughts and my focus is on something else. It's like, what now do I do?
Yeah. Right. Wow. I can just see that anticipation that God is going to replace what you gave away with something, like you said, even bigger. And so kind of fast forwarding, and forgive me if I'm getting too far ahead, but your daughter, Kaylee, asked you about attending a meeting about missions. And so I wondered if you can talk about that, because now we're starting to jump into your missions trip here.
So I want to go back just a little bit, because when I graduated from Bible college, again, Bible college just had been so pivotal in my whole journey. They said, okay, you are now ready to go out into the world and minister. How many of you are going on a mission trip?
Yeah.
And all the young attendees or students at the time, they raised their hand, and I was like, not me. Lord, let me just minister to my family, to in my backyard, in my workplace.
Right.
Just do not send me out into the world.
Right.
I'm super happy where I am.
Yeah.
Let me just be there.
Yeah. And I think you made the comment that, you know, your work with the students was like your mission field at that time, or that you felt that way.
Huh. And actually, that's what he allowed me to do during this all this time, because I graduated in 2015 and he allowed me to minister to my family, and literally my work is 5 minutes from home, my backyard, and it's exactly my community. But one day, Kaylee, her heart is to become a missionary. And so I was like, you go, girl. I will support you 100%. So when she asked me to attend this meeting with her, I said, yes, I will come and I will support you and whatever you need. And while I was there, I really had no desire to go. But then God's like, I'm going to send you to Alaska.
Wow. It was that clear, that specific to you.
Yes. Huh. And he's like, it's not even out of the country. And I put up all these roadblocks and I said, Lord, I have this to do. I don't know if I can get time off work. I don't know if I haven't even thought about missions, so I haven't been raising money. I am totally not prepared. And so, but I said, well, you know what? I will, you know, I'll take the steps to see if I can, if the roadblocks clear, and then I will go. And guess what? He did it. He cleared all the roadblocks.
Yeah. So I wondered if you can talk about what some of those roadblocks were and how God came through and made it so crystal clear for you.
Yeah. Well, first, I already had a scheduled time off to move my daughter to college over in Hawaii.
Okay.
So to me, I was like, if I take another week off right before and then school starts in the midst of all this for at college for my work, will my boss even allow me to take the time off? Mm-hmm. And she said, yes, go ahead. I was like, okay. And then I was like, okay, that's the first roadblock. The second one is funding. I have no idea what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Pastor Barry, when I told him about my mission trip, he's like, Stephanie, you should share. I was like, you know, okay. I always say okay, but I do not like to be in the spotlight. I want to always fly under the radar. Like, I don't want to be noticed. And so he kept repeatedly saying, Stephanie, when do you want to share? When do you want to share? And I was like, sure, Pastor Barry, whenever. But I would never follow through with it. And he's always offering. But one day at church, I mean, I remember all of our college students and our young adults going on missions trips. And they would share at church, and I was like, yes, we can donate, we can support, we could pray for them.
Yeah.
It's not necessary. I'm an adult. I'm this, you know, middle-aged person. I don't need to share anything. But God said in the middle of a service, Stephanie, it's not that, you know, I need you to go up there and ask for support, but I need you to go up there and let them know, people in the congregation, that it's never too late to go on a mission trip.
Wow.
Whatever your age is. And those people who support you, it's a partnership. Like, maybe they don't desire to go on a mission, but they desire to support it through either prayer or financial support.
Yeah.
So by you sharing the opportunity, you do two things. You encourage my people, and then you allow them to bless the mission.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, how can I say no?
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
I went back to Pastor Barry, and a week before my mission trip, I shared about it. And our church family totally came up and supported.
Yeah.
And I love to hear when even my peers, you know, would be like, Stephanie, I'm interested in going to a mission now. You know, so that was really encouraging to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're able to share about your missions trip. And I wondered if you can jump into the details about the trip. How many of you and what was your understanding of what the mission would be?
Mm. So there were seven adults that went.
Yeah.
Six of us were maybe aged 40 and over. and one was about 24. And we didn't really know what we were going to do in Alaska, just go to serve the community. Mm-hmm. So we were totally open, and every week, like maybe a couple months prior to leaving on the trip, we would meet and pray. And one of the gentlemen received a word from the Lord that said, you will go to lay a sure foundation for future generations. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, sure, mm-hmm. of course, that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And a couple days after that, we actually received word for what our work will be. And we were going to go to a little bit rural place of Alaska. Mm-hmm. And the story behind that is the pastors that are serving the area had uprooted their home, came to Alaska, and they're serving there. And they, as they were driving through, they felt this sense of darkness and oppression over this land that they drove past all the time. So they would pray over it for 2 years. And it turns out that the land was run by a witch, and it was a witch's shop and training center. Wow. So
what was your reaction when you found out that that's where you're going?
I was like, wow, okay, this is big,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you know what I want to say is that the amazing thing is, because we were with a group of men and women who had been walking with the Lord for so long,
yeah.
There was no fear. We were like, yes, we are going to come in and, you know, just cleanse this land. We know our authority in Christ. We know the power that is available through the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And we were going to go in and do God's work,
yes,
and
yes,
fight this battle.
Yes.
So we were excited, like,
yeah,
prayed up and just ready to go in and do what we needed to do to, yeah, prepare the land for God.
Wow. Wow.
And future generations,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and this really connects, Stephanie, to what you were saying earlier, where there God was affirming that, you know, even, you know, you were talking about your, all your ages and the fact that God can use you, but it goes deeper than that, because you guys had some experience and some strengths that your years and your wisdom could bring that maybe it wouldn't be that way if it were a different generation.
Exactly. I felt that was very significant, because mm-hmm. when you're casting out the enemy, you cannot be afraid.
Yeah.
You have to know your authority.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. And so everyone was like so powerful. It was a powerful group of men and women. And like you said, we have walked the faith,
yeah,
for many years.
Yeah.
So we knew it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, I wanted to ask you this, because as you're preparing to go on this trip, you get a word from Martha, I think, right before your trip, and it had to, and so I wondered if you can talk about that and how that was such a powerful event in preparing you for this trip.
Yeah, so yeah. Martha, one day at church, I was at the front praying for others, but she came up to pray for me, and she said she received a vision of me in hiking boots, dancing and praising.
Wow.
On my mission trip. And I was like, okay. But the whole thing was, I was in search for some proper shoes. You know, like I said, I gave everything away. So I did not have hiking boots. I did not have weatherproof boots, yeah, waterproof boots. We were going to be in the rain. We were going to work in the snow, rain and snow or whatever scenario it was. Definitely, yeah, rain. And I was hesitant to spend a lot of money. I was like, I don't want to, I want to be a good steward of my donations.
Yeah.
And so I was looking around. I couldn't find a pair that was in the budget that I wanted. But then I ended up picking out a pair of boots, and the Lord was saying, yes, I need you to get those boots, because it's okay. You need to take them.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. I had peace in them.
Yeah.
And when I was there, the boots, wow, kept my feet dry. We were on our, we would work from like, we would be up at 7 a.m. and didn't get into bed until 11. I wore those boots every single day. My feet never got tired, never got wet. I was literally working and dancing. I had so much energy on my feet the whole day, every day of the trip, that it was exactly what Martha said.
Wow. And wow.
It was a so, wow moment.
Yeah, yeah. Self-fulfilling prophecy. Wow. So I wanted to see now if you can talk about the missions trip and the amazing things that God showed you and did while you were there.
So this was my very first mission, and I really honestly had no idea what to expect. But what I was thinking was like, you know what, I'm going to go, and whatever he asked me to do, I will be 100% for it. Yeah. And so when we got there, I literally didn't know what a mission would entail. I was like, we're going to work every day, and you know, I'll see sights, and you know, as I'm driving through Alaska, getting to where I need to get, I will experience Alaska. But God is so good, because in the midst of all that, he included things too, you know, for me to enjoy with Alaska. But basically what we did was we went and we cleared the land. And when we got to the land, we asked the pastor, like, we know that you've already cleansed the land, but would you like us to pray over it for you as well and continue with that? And he was like, yes, we come from a construction family. We have done construction and we have brought electricity into many plots of land. But when we tried to install electricity into this land, it completely kicked us out and knocked him on his feet. And wow. Like he was kind of like dizzy for a couple days. And then the wife, pastor's wife said, yes, there's been a lot of interesting things that have happened. So we would love to get prayer and cleansing over the land. So if you can imagine this, okay, so the street is, let's say, here. And then you go all the way back. Mm-hmm. And that's the land. And towards the back, there's a fire pit. And then you... beyond the fire pit is the river. Mm. So it's a long piece of land, mm-hmm. not extremely wide, but long. And so we gathered around the fire pit and we started to pray. And it was still as still. Nothing was moving, no wind, nothing. Mm-hmm. And as we all started to cast the darkness out,
yeah.
the most massive wind came blowing from the street
wow.
towards the river. And literally, I had to brace myself and stand firm on my ground
wow.
So that I would not fall over. It was so strong that I opened my stance and was like, no, this is happening. We command you out of this land. And after we were finished praying, calm, stillness.
Oh, my goodness.
Not even a rustling of the leaves.
Wow.
It was so amazing, but we knew.
Wow, wow.
We knew.
So the sense that you had, and maybe even looking back, is that the wind represented this, I think you said cleansing or getting rid of something.
The cleansing of the land. And then we walked around the land and claimed it for the Lord. And I, since then, I have been doing this same prayer as a 1,000 feet above. 1,000 feet below and 1,000 feet all around.
Wow.
We claim this land for the Lord and wow. consecrate it. And anything that is not of the Lord, we command it to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
And wow. so preparing that land for what is to come next.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. And you had other miracles too, because that I wondered if you can talk about the type of work that you had to do with the logs and how God even seemed to work among you at your still youthful ages, but, you know, getting up there. I wonder if you can talk about that.
Yeah, so what they were planning to do with the land was build a coffee shop, because people come for coffee, but they may not come to church, right? So let's get people in so they can be ministered to. And so we were stripping logs. The length of them was long. Like, imagine we're going to build a log cabin. So we had, pallets of logs to do. And and we were there for a couple days. We said, okay, my team leader said, you know what? The word I've got is the Lord will partner with our, and what we put in, he will multiply, right? So he will partner with our strength. And we do not know how we did it, but in the days that we did, we finished all the logs. And there were several pallets of them.
Yeah.
And the pastor was astonished because groups had come prior to us and had not completed the same number of logs. And the groups were way more than us as well. But somehow we did it. We did it in the rain. And, of course, there were tents over us, but it was raining and it was cold. We stripped all the logs. It required, like, taking off the bark and then stripping the underbark.
Wow.
And then sanding it and then, like, I guess cutting the edges so that it could be the right shape. And then transferring it to the storage.
Wow. What's it like to debark a tree? I'm trying to visualize that.
So fascinating. You take this tool and then you have to like drag it underneath the bark.
Okay.
And it takes a lot of physical strength, which I didn't know that I had, but I did. And it was such a great learning experience, but... you know, I'm a little person, 5 feet, you know, I don't have a lot of muscle, but God did it, you know, and here we are. We're like, we had people in their 60s as part of the group, you know, so it was really amazing.
Well, you know what's neat? So this is what I thought of when you were sharing that story was Nehemiah. So, you know, he's this guy, he's a cupbearer for the king, and he was charged to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And they were able to build the wall in 52 days, which you know, is unheard of. And there's one scripture that says the enemies were scared because they felt God had helped them. And so, I mean, did you get that same sense that, you know, God had helped your group as well?
Absolutely. That is a great reference because for sure, 100%, I do not, looking back, know how we completed all those logs in the few days that we were there.
Yeah, yeah. And I just had this picture of you working in the boots, right, that Martha had the vision for and how much that helped you too. So I think... I don't know if this was during the trip or when you came back, but your group also had challenges with sickness as well, or I think you mentioned throat problems. I wondered if you can talk about that.
Yes. So one day into the project, we all started getting sore throats. And by the time we came home, you know, the COVID tests were negative and we came home and took another COVID test, negative. It was so painful that I did not want to see anyone when I came home because it would require me to talk. And it was so painful that just to swallow or have a conversation, I didn't want to do any of it. So I felt like that was the enemy, you know, because all the tests were negative. And so while I was waiting, one night I had an amazing dream. I went to bed, same thing, so much pain. I don't know what it is. In my dream, there was a miracle and I was praising the Lord. And there was somebody in my dream that was praising Satan. And so we had this singing battle where we're like praising. I was praising the Lord. They were praising Satan. And so it was kind of like a back and forth tug of war and no one was making any movement, you know, like I pull one inch, she pulls another inch. And so in the midst of that dream, I woke up and I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to pray you out. You are a liar. And I woke up screaming, you know, praying, casting. And in the midst of my prayer, my throat literally melted away, the pain. And I was astonished. But then I knew, like, I was swallowing. I was like, is this real? Yes. It's gone.
Wow.
It's literally gone. The pain is gone. I went to bed and the pain was excruciating. And I woke up, cast it out, and I knew for sure it was a spiritual battle.
Oh.
And as soon as I finished praying over the home and everyone in it, I cast it out. I heard a huge boom, like a transformer blowing up outside of my window.
And it was actually audible to you. And,
yes.
And you felt that.
Wow. Yes. And it was like maybe 5 o'clock. So it wasn't, you know, firecracker or anything. It was strange.
Right.
And but then you know and you know. And I was like, I knew that was the battle was done.
Yeah.
Wow. At that point.
Wow. And that's so amazing. And you also had some challenges where you thought your kids were being attacked too. And I wondered if you can share about that.
So interestingly, yes, after I cast that out, someone stole the catalytic converter from Kaylee's car, parked right outside of our house. And like her car is like a 2002 Honda Civic. Like why would any of all the cars in our entire complex, and we're smack in the middle of nowhere, you know, like what is this selection? And so I was like, I knew it was like an attack, right?
Right.
So
I think you even said where where her car was parked too. You wouldn't think that someone would go there.
Exactly. It was just so strange. I mean, all around us are cars. She has a lowered car. So it's not easy to get
it's
under
not easy.
That.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is very interesting. But, you know, the enemy really just wants me to just be sidetracked. So I'm not going to let that happen. And then so we just dealt with it. And then my son got into a car accident.
Yeah.
Some road rage person tried to run him into the center divider. And, you know, they lied about it. And I was like, what? You know, this is so unfair. But you know what? I'm going to let God deal with it because he knows the truth. He saw the whole thing.
Yes.
And whatever happens, happens, you know. And then my youngest daughter had a major attack of allergies. She had hives all over her body. And she was over in Hawaii at school. So it was one thing after another. But, you know, I attended a service where Michelle was here.
Okumura.
Mm-hmm. Okumura. She shared that when her testimony, when you're going all in with the Lord, he said, are you sure you're going to do this? Because if even though you're prepared for the attack, the enemy is going to also attack your family. And when I heard that, I was like, I got to pray for everybody. Mm-hmm. I need to put a covering over everyone.
Yes. Yes.
And so since then, I'd be like, no fear. God is, you know, in control. If you, the enemy, wants to mess with me, you can go talk to my father, but I've already consecrated every single person, all of my household, all of my property, everything to the Lord.
Yeah.
So go talk to the father, fight with him, because I'm no longer putting up with your mess.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that gives me so much peace.
Yeah. Yeah. So what changes you happened after that, after you lifted up that prayer and you had this new mindset?
I was no longer fighting with the enemy.
Mm.
I was like, if something was on the verge of happening, I'd be like, okay, Lord, I give this to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And enemy, go talk to my father. And so I was no longer, my mind was free.
Yes,
I had so much peace that no matter what happens, and this is something like, you know it, and I've been living it for so many years because, you know, as a parent, you have to trust your children to the Lord. But I didn't realize that once you start walking in what the Lord, you know, calls you to or whatever, you know, when you give your life to him, that he's just going to keep attacking all of your loved ones too. And so I feel so much peace.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I can go forward and I can leave my family if I were to go on a mission trip and he would take care of them.
Yes.
The Lord would take care of everything.
Yes. Yes. I think of that verse that says the battle belongs to the Lord. It's almost like you're surrendering and allowing him to take up arms against the enemy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so many times I think, you know, we try in our own power and, you know, I think sometimes justifiably because, you know, as a mom, you know, you and me as a dad, you know, we're concerned about our kids and we want to do as much as we can, but something happens that when we give them up to the Lord and allow the Lord to fight our battles for us, huh?
100%.
Yeah. So, Stephanie, as we start to wrap up our time together, what are I guess a couple of the key takeaways for you from this whole experience? And I'm thinking even before your missions trip, as God's preparing you for your time and even through coming back, what are a couple lessons that stand out for you?
Well, one thing for sure is when we release our ties to everything of this world.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm not tied to anything anymore.
Mm.
You know, of course, you know, I love my family and I love what I do, but in the end, I can pick up and do whatever the Lord asks of me because I'm not. So, yeah, release control.
Yes. Yes.
Just allow yourself to be obedient to his calling. It's such a freeing sense of like liberation. Like if all I do is just do what the Lord asks me to, I'm good.
Yeah.
What do I desire in this world? I just desire to serve the Lord wherever he sends me.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what he does, he's always going to do good. Like
yes.
I was saying, like, oh, when I went to Alaska, I really didn't expect anything. I was just expecting to serve the entire time. But guess what? God made time for rest and exploration too. And it was so pleasing and like surprising to me. Like we got to see a glacier. We went to see the rainforest.
Yeah.
And then the very last day, he took us to, it was perfect. It was raining the whole time. And the last day before we came back, we had a day of rest. And it was sunny. It was beautiful. We went to the lake and I laid by the lake and I sat with the Lord and just was so grateful for the experience.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to have all those those experiences in addition to serving.
Yes.
So that was a blessing. So I think no matter what, God knows our heart,
mm-hmm.
and he like puts all these little Easter eggs for us to find. You know, just follow him.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think the last thing is that I want to really encourage my friends and our Catalyst family. If the Lord places it on your heart to go on a mission trip, go. You will be so blessed, but there is no age limit to it, you know, and as you go, like whether you're young or you're older, you know, the experience is going to grow you, but you take along everything with you to serve. Whether you're old or you're young, you have what God has already placed inside of you, your experience, and then you just give it. And no matter what, it's going to bless his kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
So amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Whew. That was so inspirational, Stephanie. And your insights and the way God is moving. And I can't wait to see what he does. I know you're planning on going on another missions trip. So I can't wait to hear the things that God is going to continue to do. Thank you for coming here today and sharing this amazing testimony with us.
Thank you so much, John, for inviting me, because if you didn't ask and you didn't follow through, I probably would never share it, you know. But it's your faithfulness in what he's asking you to do that, you know, encourages us to. Because like I said, I'm so low key under the radar. If you don't ask me about it, I might not share it, you know, but it's really something that should be shared.
Yes.
For his glory.
Yes.
So I really want to just thank you for inviting me. And I really want to thank my Catalyst family for their prayers, their support, and all of the donors.
Yes.
Because they made it possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well said. Yeah. And I just want to close by lifting up a prayer of thanksgiving for your testimonies and your what God has been doing in your life. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for how you placed the desire on Stephanie's heart to make this incredible journey to Alaska to serve you and to reclaim land for your purposes and your glory. Thank you for showing Stephanie and her team the amazing signs and wonders of your hand upon them, for the powerful wind, Lord, blowing things out that were not of you, Lord, for the way you multiplied the team's work by allowing them to accomplish more than they were capable of. And Lord, finally, for the physical healings and the restoration of Stephanie's voice, and also, Lord, the revealing of the need for waterproof boots for Stephanie that she received in the vision from Martha. And Lord, I think of how, Lord, you love us so much that you want us to enjoy the little things as Stephanie was sharing, the day of sunshine, Lord, and just being able to bask in the sun and enjoy a glacier, Lord. That's just like you to want us to experience the little things that mean so much and show your love for us. So thank you for that. And I just want to quote Zechariah 4:6. It's not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Lord, show us signs and wonders like you've showed to Stephanie and her team, that as we turn to you, there are only things that you can do, Lord. And Father God, just like you multiplied the work that Stephanie and her team were able to accomplish, I pray that you would multiply the work of Stephanie's hand and life as she speaks life and hope and encouragement to her students that she comes in contact with. Thank you, God, that Stephanie and her team were able to be a light in the darkness to a barren land in need of a Savior. And Lord, help and teach us to be a light to those that need you. And so now, Jesus, may you use these incredible testimonies in Stephanie's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Stephanie. That's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of inspiration and encouragement to others. God bless.